You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a master class in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am going to go over some unofficial data that I collected, which I'll get into in just a moment. I sent out an email to my email subscribers and polled them about finding CCPT and what that career path was like. So we'll dive into that. I got some really interesting results there, so I want to share that with you all. But two housekeeping things first. The June cohorts of the Play Therapy Professional Certification Coaching Program are quickly approaching. So if you would like to find out more about that, please go to playtherapypro.com, click on Get Certified, and then you can watch a video and schedule a discovery call with me. I have a few spots left. So if you would like to get started in June, I'd love to have you go to playtherapypro.com. Also, if you are not subscribed to my email newsletter, I want to let you know I actually present different content in the newsletter than I do on the podcasts. So if you have not done that, please go to playtherapynow.com and you can subscribe to the email newsletter and then you'll get all the content that I send out, which is different than the podcast stuff. All right, so let's dive in. So the question I sent out a while back was I had just observed in random discovery calls and random coaching conversations and random collective interactions that many people were saying that they used to do XYZ and then they found child-centered play therapy. I kind of saw this common thread being woven together. And so it, you know, my brain, right? I want to know the why and I love research. So I thought I need to find out more about this. So in my email newsletter, I emailed everyone and said, hey, is this a second or third career for you? If so, you know, can you share your journey with me? I'd love to hear how you found child-centered play therapy and what you might have done before you found this field. So we thematically coded all the results, and oh my gosh, thank you to those of you that emailed me back. I had so many of you respond to that email, so it obviously struck a chord, right? And I want to not only give you the list of what people said they did before they found child-centered play therapy, but I want to go through some of the themes that I pulled out. And I'm so encouraged by this. I'm fascinated by this. And I think you will be too. It really speaks to how child-centered play therapy finds us. We don't find it. And I'm really excited about some of the stuff that came out of this discussion. So let me read you the list of what people said they did first. We'll start there. So all of the people that responded said, yes, this is either a second or a third career for me. And then here's what I did before. I'm just going to read these to you. Nurse, enlisted in the military, linguist, worked with the mandated population, teacher, school counselor, advertising and marketing, child protective services, masseuse, human services, victim advocacy, nanny, worked in women's refuge, administration, parenting coach, at a boarding school, political science, sorry, that was my abbreviation, journalism, biology, sports medicine, parole officer, political researcher, and a bed and breakfast. Isn't this so fascinating, y'all? It makes me smile just hearing this. Look at all of the different avenues, the different former careers, the different path, right? And then lo and behold, we're all now doing child-centered play therapy. This is so fascinating to me. And, you know, obviously I say divine intervention, divine orchestration, but I wanted to hear from all of those that responded, you know, what are some themes that I could pull out of this and how did this unfold? What did this look like? So I want to share that with y'all because many of you are in this position, number one, but those of you who happened to go straight into child-centered play therapy at the start of your career, know that you are rare and it is not something that I'm seeing as, you know, you get out of grad school and you're immediately doing child-centered play therapy. That was my path, but I think those of us that are in that scenario were the outliers. So here are some themes that we pulled out of the email responses. Many, many people said that moving to child-centered play therapy was a very significant career shift. And you could see in the list of what they did before. In other words, it was not like a, well, I was already doing therapy. I just decided I wanted to do child-centered instead. You know, it was from education, healthcare, social work, like all kinds of other things. But it was driven by a desire to have a more direct therapeutic impact on children. Once you start to work with kids, whether you choose it or whether you are kind of forced into it, you realize very quickly that you don't have the skill set that is going to be effective. And that forces you to try to figure something out. And so many, many came to the child-centered world because it was a massive shift, but the desire was there to help people, help children therapeutically. Common theme was that many of you all found CCPT serendipitously. In other words, you weren't really seeking it. You were just kind of exploring or trying to figure something out, or you were doing some research on what am I supposed to do with this 8-year-old client that I just got. And all of a sudden you started learning about child-centered principles and it just resonated with you. And then therefore you start pursuing training and education and certification and all of that. But so many people said that it was absolutely life-changing when they found CCPT, which is my story, which is so many of our stories, right? You just feel like you found yourself, you found home, you found what you've always needed but didn't know it. And that's the story that was told again and again and again in the emails. One of the major barriers and challenges to becoming child-centered that was reported is lack of local training and just not having access to child-centered education, training, background, content, all of that, which is arguably why you found my podcast. So, you know, thank God for that, because for those of you that were really struggling and couldn't find anything locally, you at least have the podcast. And another theme is that the fulfillment was just incredible for those that switched. And so many told stories of profound personal and professional fulfillment as soon as they started practicing child-centered play therapy. Seeing the effectiveness and the joy of watching change with children in the playroom, the fulfillment and the impact that that has brought has been incredible. And that's why we love this job, right? Community and support is something that I saw again and again and again was crucially needed. Everyone said they wanted formal and informal training programs that are really centered around a community. In other words, you know, how can we discuss things? How can we debrief on things, have case consultations? You know, the support and the community that is needed has become something that many, many of you all are asking for and talking about, which is why the collective exists. So I'm trying, y'all. I'm doing my part. I'm trying to listen to what you're asking for. And professional development was the final theme, where many of you are very deeply committed to advancing your skills and becoming the best CCPT that you can, and begging for learning and professional growth through all different kinds of training opportunities. And therefore, I'm partnering with CoreWell for CEUs. So I really do listen. When you all give me feedback, it matters. And that's why I ask for it. And I want you to know that what I do is for you all. And I'm always interested and I care about what matters to you and what you all need and what you want. So thank you so much for those of you that emailed in. Let me give you a couple other things that came through in these stories. 90% of people that responded. Now, granted, the question was, are any of you all second or third career people? So for those who were not second or third career people, you probably wouldn't have emailed me. So keep in mind that there's a skew here in this data, but I'm just giving you numbers. 90% of the people that responded said that finding child-centered play therapy was a second or third career. 85% discovered it through a pivotal experience, either personally or professionally. It was like a life-changing moment when they found CCPT, 85%. 60% cited barriers to accessing child-centered training. That's crazy, y'all. Oh my gosh, we need so much more CCPT training in the world. And then 75% mentioned the importance of having support and community in their journey. So wanting a community around them, wanting colleagues to help and guide and serve as a support for them. So that's, gosh, this is so fun. I hope that you all are enjoying this. Like, I love numbers. Maybe you're bored out of your mind, but I think this is fascinating. All right. So a couple other things that I want to highlight, because through this coding process, we were actually able to pull out some deeper motivations for becoming child-centered. And even if you are not a second or third career, I think these deeper motivations will be hugely important for you, and you will definitely connect with these. So many, many of the respondents were drawn to CCPT as part of their own personal healing journey. And we've talked about this in the six-figure play therapist, in the play therapy pro certification, in the collective. This has been a conversation that I've had with a lot of people. It is incredible how our own healing journey takes place through child-centered play therapy. So many of you have mentioned it, and I know this is true, and I'm so glad that this was something that was shared. So many stories revealed a history of working in really high stress or emotionally draining jobs, and that CCPT was like a new professional path and allowed self-healing and self-work to be done. Because look, you can't give, I talked about this in the interview with Brandy, you can't give kids these things without giving it to yourself first. You learn how to be child-centered to yourself in this process, because you have to extend it to yourself first. And there's so much beauty in that, and that's where the healing comes from. So personal healing was a big motivation. Second is, so many stories were about a deep-rooted desire to make a positive impact in kids' lives. And that's the alignment with the core values of CCPT, right? So many individuals left high paying jobs. They left security in their professions to pursue a career in play therapy because it was about deep meaning and impact more than it was about the money. And look, you can make good money being a child-centered play therapist. I'm not saying you need to be poor to do this job. And that's what we talk about a lot in six-figure play therapist. But that was something that came out again and again. Many of them said, my one and only desire is to help kids. And so if I have to leave, you know, a really, really successful business, or if I have to leave a really, really good job to do this, it's worth it to me. Third, the connection element. They really loved the fact that their personal beliefs align with CCPT. So everyone that resonates with CCPT, you have a theoretical orientation that lends itself toward person-centered and child-centeredness. That there's just no way around it. You can't fall in love with child-centered play therapy, and it can't get its grips on you the way that it does if you are theoretically aligned with a different approach. So when you naturally connect personally, your beliefs make sense with the child-centered model. That is why you're so drawn to it. And there's the connection and there's the relatability. And a child-led approach, many, many people talked about how they believe it's more ethical. Many people believe that it's more effective, and which it is, right? We've proven that. But compared to traditional directive methods, it felt right. And that's something that I heard again and again and again, is I learned directive approaches, I learned directive orientations, and it just, quote, never felt right. Quote, I never felt good about it. Quite, it never fully settled with me. Quote, like there's all of these, you know, phrases that people say. And when you look at it, it really is about your theoretical model has to align. And that brings me to kind of another side note of that. So many of the responses came from people of faith. And that was also interesting to me. I'm actually going to tell you a quote that someone said in their response. I really believe if Jesus were a play therapist, he would use child-centered play therapy. And I thought about that a lot. And I think that for those of us that faith is a big part of our lives, biblical principles very closely align with child-centered play therapy. And our understanding of the world and unconditional love and unconditional acceptance and the fruit of the Spirit and all of the things that we believe as a faith-filled person we can see that in child-centered play therapy. And so many said that faith was another connection that they had to this, which there's the connection and the relatability for people, right? Like if child-centered play therapy connects with you, it's because you have beliefs that align with it. And that's very powerful. All right. And then a couple other things I wanted to share just kind of as some final things. Many, many people talked about feeling that there was an isolation factor. As soon as they found child-centered play therapy, they felt completely isolated and alone with no support. And that it is so important, especially in regions where CCPT is less recognized, to be a part of a community that understands it and gets it and will support you. So please take advantage of the collective, take advantage of the coaching groups, listen to the podcast, be a part of the newsletter. I mean, those are ways that you stay connected and you don't feel like you're so alone. That's so important. I've learned that the hard way too. You know, I've done everything on my own for a really long time and it's lonely and it's hard and it doesn't have to be. And then a couple of final thoughts too. One of the other things was that you eventually ended up reevaluating your goals as soon as you found child-centered play therapy, which I love because you want personal fulfillment in work and you want to really feel like you're making a difference. And I think that's the beauty of the child-centered approach too. And then finally, all of you want more education and training about CCPT. So here we are doing some training on CCPT in a podcast and all kinds of other things. All right. So I hope that you found that helpful. I hope that that encourages you. For those of you that are second and third career CCPTers, welcome. We are so glad you're here. We're so glad the field is growing. And for those of us that have either been doing this for a really long time and or, you know, we started out doing child-centered, that's rare, but that's a gift too in and of itself. It's a gift to find it after you've done something else, I think, but it's a gift to find it straight out of the gate. In both scenarios, we are a growing community that the thing that we care about more than anything else is helping kids. And that is noble, honorable work. And it just encourages me, makes me so happy. I watched a video review this morning in one of the coaching groups, and many of us were in tears watching the work that this little girl was doing. I mean, it was so profound and so deep and so necessary and so healing for her, and big stuff coming out in a play session. And all of us, I mean, like we were all sitting there like crying at the end of it, watching what child-centered play therapy does. It's incredible, y'all. Like, I know we all use the word magical, but I feel like that can be misconstrued. It is remarkable what happens in a child-centered playroom and what kids will do, the things they will face, the challenges they will overcome, the way that they will heal and grow and adapt. It is just, sometimes there are no words for it. And I just felt that way this morning. You know, tears came, no words came. It's special. It's so special. And for those of you that found it later, you found the best thing. You really did. And so we are glad you're here. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for engaging with me the way that you all do. You know how much I love you. I'm so grateful for every single moment that I spend with you all, whether it's over the airwaves or whether it's on the collective calls or on the coaching program, whatever. I just love engaging with people that truly care about kids. And it's the most important work. I don't think there's anything more important than thinking about future generations and the impact that that will have. So super grateful for all of you. Love you. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.